It's not reality. Now, you can always have victory in your heart.
You can rejoice in the Lord always. The Bible says so. But that doesn't mean that you're not going to have some mood swings. The Bible says in this very book, and we studied it as we've studied through the book of James, that we can count it all joy even when we fall into diverse temptations. You can be going through a very difficult time and still have a deep, settled joy and peace in your heart because you know whose you are. You know who you belong to. And so here in James, as he's getting ready to close out the book, last week we talked about that the judge is at the door. We talked about the coming of the Lord. And we went down through verse number 12. And I want to begin reading in verse 13 of James chapter 5. And we'll read through verse number 15. James chapter 5, verse 13 through 15. I'm going to ask you to stand again. Let you get on your feet one more time. And this time stand on one leg. No, don't do that. You don't have to do that. In case you just want to see how long you can do it. James chapter 5. Let's look at verse 13. There's some questions asked here, and I think that it's good to answer questions. And so we're going to let the Bible answer the questions for us. Okay, there's three very good questions that are asked about our mood. James saying, okay, who among you, look at verse 13, is afflicted? Is there any among you afflicted? We're going to talk about that. Perhaps tonight there's some among us that are afflicted. Oh, you don't see it because they wear it well. But we can't see in a man's heart. And there may be somebody here that's carrying a very heavy burden. They're afflicted in their heart. And James asked the question, who among you is afflicted? Let him pray. So if you're here tonight and you're afflicted, we're going to talk about that. What do you do when you're afflicted? Not murmur. Not complain. Not wallow in self-pity. You pray. That's what the Bible says. Rather, and I've said it from this pulpit hundreds of times since I've been the pastor, the Bible is always right. It's always right. If God said the thing to do in affliction is pray, we pray. You can't improve on what God said. Number two, question number two, is any merry? Who's cheerful? You say, well, I'm not afflicted. Well, that doesn't mean you won't be. But are you cheerful? Is any cheerful? What do you do when you're cheerful? What do you do when you're merry? Let him sing. Amen. Is that what the Bible says? Sing. Sing psalms. So, the remedy for hardship is praying. The remedy for gladness is singing. Right? And then he asked a third question. Is any, verse 14, sick among you? Is there any sick? He said, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. I want to talk to you about those three moods of a Christian. All right? Did you get them? Hardness, gladness, sickness. Those are the three moods. Tonight, you're in at least one of those moods. You could be in two. I doubt you're in three. It's going to be hard to be an afflicted and merry at the same time, but you could be now. But you can be sick and still be glad. Did you know that? You could. What mood are you in? Sometimes we're in this mood, sometimes we're in that mood. But the Bible says when you're in a mood, there's a way you ought to act. You know, there's always a way we ought to act as Christians. There's always a way God wants us to act. And so we're going to find out what the Bible says about that. Let's pray. Father, help us to receive your word tonight. I pray that we would receive the word of God tonight, not as the word of a man, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. Help us to take serious consideration to what our ears will hear and what our hearts will experience as the Word of God goes forth tonight. Would you do something in our hearts that no man can do? Would you bring change that is lasting? And help us, Lord, to learn from your Word as we have mood swings, how we're to act. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, there's three questions. They seem rather simple questions. You don't really have to get a concordance out or take a test, hook up to a machine, or answer a survey of questions to find out where you are. I think as I asked those questions tonight, you immediately latched on to at least one of those moods, possibly more. I will guarantee you this. Regardless of what mood you're in tonight, you're going to face the other two sooner or later, maybe even before this night is over. I don't know. None of us know. But here, the Bible teaches some things about us, okay? It teaches that, well, we're temperamental. Man is temperamental. We change. We have good days, and, well, we have days that are not so good. We have days we're on the mountain, and then things change, and we find ourselves in the valley, don't we? We have healthy days where we feel good and healthy, and then we have, well, days that we don't feel good and healthy, and we experience sickness, and sometimes that sickness is very deep, and it runs deep because it goes even beyond the physical sickness, and it's touched by the soul of our being. Here, the Scripture, the Apostle, begins to tell us some things about how we're to act when we're having these mood swings in our lives. Number one, write this down. In a time of hardness, he said, is any among you afflicted? Now, what does that word mean? Well, that word's used a lot in the Scripture, and more times than not, it means suffering, hard times, pain, problems. Are you afflicted? Is any afflicted? Well, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter number 2 that we're to endure hardness. And that's that word affliction. We're to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, you can't quit when hard times come. What do you do when hard times come? Quit? Complain? Grumble? Grow bitter? Blame other people? Maybe blame God. No, James said, listen, when the hard times come, not if they come, when the hard time comes, pray. You know, prayer is something that is grossly underused and overlooked in life, isn't it? I have overlooked prayer in my life more than I want to tell you about. I've used it. I've taken advantage of it. I have used the avenue of prayer to contact heaven. I think it's a wonderful thing that God has given me a direct line to heaven itself. I can go to the very throne of God's grace and talk to Him and tell Him, God, I'm troubled. I'm afflicted. I'm in a hard spot. I need you, Lord. I need you. And I'm glad that God's always listening. Aren't you? Is there any among us afflicted tonight? Pray. Pray. The ear of the Lord is open to the righteous. God is listening. God is calling. God is saying, call unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He said, come unto me, but he also said, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You praying? Are you? What do you do when times get hard? When the going gets rough? What are you talking about? Well, listen. Here's some things that I've experienced in my life. How about you? You ever lost a job? Have you ever had physical limitations? Have you ever had your health compromised? What about family situations? where you feel like that your family's turned against you. And I don't mean your wife or your children, but your extended family. You feel like an outcast. Spoke with a lady today. It broke my heart. But you know, it also took me back to a time when my family turned away from me because I wanted to live for Jesus. You'll never regret living for Jesus. Never. Never. Nothing or no one is worth your walk with God. Never. There ought to be a stake you drive in the ground and say, I shall not be moved. I'm going to live for Jesus. And I respect this lady for the position she's taken and her family. Family situations. Maybe a co-worker. Maybe you're ridiculed. Maybe you've been passed up for a promotion. Maybe you're taken advantage of because they've seen you pray in the break room, because they know that you're a Christian, because they know you have morals. You won't laugh at their jokes and you won't participate in their wrongdoing. Afflictions. Maybe it's school. Maybe they're when you're in school. I realize most of the people in our section are not in school. But maybe your children, they come home and they say, you know, hey, I've been picked on, I've been ridiculed, I've been made fun of because I'm a Christian. They call me an old fundamentalist, an old Baptist. They're making fun of me down at the school because I want to worship God and carry my Bible and do what's right. That's afflictions. It's hardship. It's problems. We have them. So what do? Get bitter, get angry. I hope they all rot in hell. Listen, that's no attitude for a Christian. The Bible says in verse number 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Don't get bitter. Don't get angry. Don't blame other people. Don't question God. God is using these times to grow us, to prove us. God may use a time like this to knock some of the edges off. God ever done that in your life? Has He? Sure, God will do that. Pray. Call upon Him. When's the last time you spent some time in prayer and just hope, God, this is harder than I can bear? I want you to turn to some scripture. I love reading the Psalms, and I believe that if you've been a Christian for any length of time, turn to Psalm 25. You love reading the Psalms as a believer. Psalms are songs that have emotion attached. Sometimes the Psalms are written from a cave. Doesn't sound like a very good place to be. And yet God allowed His servant to be in a cave and He wrote a psalm there. Sometimes psalms are written from horrible pits. When you go through and you study where some of the psalms are written from, it helps you to understand a lot in life. And we can't always be in the palace. You can't always be on top. Sometimes life will throw you a curve and you find yourself in the valley. You're afflicted. You're going through a hard time. I heard more than one person tonight mention their child or their children. Hey, that's affliction. Hard to sleep at night when you don't know where your children are. It's hard to sleep at night when you don't know if your child's going to heaven with you or not. If you're a real Christian, that burdens your soul. Because that's your flesh and blood. And you want to know, as much as you know for yourself, that my son, my daughter's going to heaven with me. Amen. It's real. It's real. The psalmist said in Psalm 25, notice his wording here, in Psalm 27, verse number 5, Psalm 27, verse number 5. For in the time of trouble, you see that? In the time of trouble, In other words, in the time of affliction, in the time of hardness, is there any among you afflicted? In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. That's a little shelter. It's like a temporary shelter. It's almost like the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. God will bring you in and put you in a special place and cover you under his wing and let you know that he knows your situation. It's something to get along with the Lord and to hear God whisper down in your heart, "I know, son. I see. I haven't forgotten you. I know what's going on." Isn't that wonderful when God gives you that assurance? Sometimes the devil and even the flesh tries to say, "God doesn't care, God doesn't know," or "this is something that God's not going to get involved with." God's going to get involved in everything that goes on in his child's life. You do know that, right? The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart." Now listen to me. Listen, "Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge him." Now why would the Bible tell us to acknowledge him in all of our ways if God didn't want to get involved in everything that we're going on in? See, God wants to get involved in it all. So, well, I'm just leaving God on deck for the big hits. No, God wants to get involved in everything that goes on in our lives. He said here in Psalm 27, verse 5, "In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." Turn over to Psalm 34. The psalmist says something very similar to that in Psalm 34 in verse number 19. Psalm 34, verse number 19. The psalmist said, and this is a psalm of David, it says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." Is there any among you afflicted? The psalmist said, you know, the righteous have many afflictions. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Can I stand before you tonight and tell you that our God is faithful? Listen to me, brethren. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. God knows what you're going through. God knows where you are. And God knows what you're encountering in life. And God is many times using these things to drive us to him, not from him. Don't you take the message of God wrong. When God allows these things in my life and in your life, he's doing it to draw us to him, not drive us from him. All right? So don't you take the hardship. Don't you take the afflictions as God's way of pushing you away. It's God's way of trying to get you to come to him so he can just embrace you in his love and tell you how much he cares and show you what he can do as he shows himself strong in our situation. I'm glad that God can show his strength in my weakness, aren't you? So he says here, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." When I was telling you earlier to turn, while we were praying, the Lord laid a song on my heart. And again, don't get nervous. You've been around me long enough to know I'm not going to sing. Some people get nervous when they see the preacher with a song, but there are some singing preachers out there, but I'm not one of them. The song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Verse number 2. When you're afflicted, ought to have a special place in your heart. The songwriter said, "Have we trials and temptations?" It's a question. It's very similar to what James asked. Is there any among you afflicted? The songwriter said, "Have we trials and temptations? Is there any, or is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer." So as we go back to James, James said, is there any among you afflicted? Tonight, the Holy Spirit of God is searching my heart, your heart, and He's asking that question, are you afflicted? If you are, pray. Isn't that what the Bible says? Pray. You say, preacher, is there ever an inappropriate time to pray? Well, I don't think so. I haven't found one. But there are times that are more appropriate than others to pray. And obviously in this section of Scripture, the Spirit of God is saying, in the time of hardship, in the time of affliction, pray. God put you in that affliction to bring you to Him. When you get to Him, talk to Him. Amen? Is there any among us tonight afflicted? Anyone among us? If you are, pray. Now let's move on. The second question is asked. Look at it there in verse number 13. Is any merry? The word merry there is cheerful, joyful, gladness. You glad tonight? You merry? You know, I've been around folks in these many years that I've been saved, and I wonder if they have ever been merry. I made a decision a long time ago. You see, I believe that the Bible teaches that being glad, being cheerful, being happy, being merry is a choice. As you go through this journey, there's a couple of buses you can get on. Now, some folks might think I got on the short bus. I got on the happy bus. I didn't jump on the sad bus. Some people go through life, and everything they see and everything and every situation, they always see the bad in it, the sad. They're always sad, no matter what. Somebody gets saved, they're sad. The church grows, they're sad. God blesses them, they're sad. You need to switch buses. You got on the wrong bus. Don't you go through life all sad, pooch mouth, and lip dragging the ground. Roll that thing up. Amen. And rejoice in the Lord. You're a Christian. You're saved. Jesus is your Savior. Well, I know that life is not always easy. I know that there's sadness in life. But the Bible says we ought to rejoice in the Lord. If you don't have anything else to rejoice in, when the disciples came back to Jesus and they said, hey, even the devils are subject unto us in thy name. He said, wait a minute, guys. That's not why you rejoice. Don't rejoice because the devils are subject unto you in my name, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. If you don't have anything else to rejoice about tonight and you're saved, you go home and shout. And listen, you could shout all night, all day tomorrow, and until Jesus comes. That's 20, 30, 40 years until you die. And you would never be able to praise God enough that your name is written in heaven. So you've got plenty to praise God about. And so do I. Amen? Is any among you merry? What should we do? Let's look at it. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Did you know you could tell a lot about a person by the songs they sing? What songs you singing? Didn't say let him sing. Said let him sing God's word. Isn't that what it said? Psalms. So I sing all the time. You might be singing the wrong songs. That's why you're not married. What songs you singing? I hope it's not the song of the fool. There are songs of the fool and the Song of Solomon. Are you singing those psalms? You're merry. Do you know you can tell a lot about a person by the songs they sing, but you can also tell a lot about a person. Well, I'll just go ahead and say, you can tell a lot about a church by the way they sing. You ever walked into church and got there late? I try never to do that. Let me find a good song here. Here's a good one. Hadn't sang this one in a while. What a friend we have in Jesus. I got short-term memory loss. What a friend we have in Jesus. all our sins and griefs to bear. Boy, that's going to get them saved. That's going to want people to get on the bus. Amen. You ought never sing like that in church. You can tell a lot about a church by the way they sing. You go in a church and those people are standing erect and singing out. You say, "Preacher, I sing like a crow." God listens to the crows sing. Oh, I know He listens to the sparrows and the robins, but He listens to the crows too. He gave them their voice too. Say amen with me now. You merry? Sing. Sing. You got something to sing about. Sing songs. Sing God's songs. Right? Hey, when you come into the house of God Sunday, you ought to grab you a song book, and when the song leader says, "Let's start singing," you ought to start singing out. And I mean, just listen, just sing it out. Just sing it out for the Lord. You say, "Preacher, I don't sing that well." Well, I don't know that any of us are auditioning for anything, heaven's choir. But you know what? If you've got joy in your heart, it's going to sound good to God's ear. Sing. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You ever been in a church and when people sing, it's dead? Man. You go in a church and those people are merry, those people are happy, those people are in tune. I mean, it's like there's an arc between them and God. Amen. There's an arc and a spark going on there and they're singing. Boy, it's real. Amen. That does something. That does something for people. That'll make people hungry and thirsty. Man, I want what they've got. I want what He's got. I want what they have. Why? Because they're longing for that. Is any among you merry? Look at what He said here. Let him sing psalms. The Christian life is not a funeral. It's a feast. We have much to be thankful for. I was listening. I listen when people pray. And two or three times as we were praying tonight, it was mentioned about being joyful and about counting our blessings and about being thankful for what God has done for us. Be thankful. Be merry. Sing. That's a mood. When you're happy, sing. When you come to church, sing. What's the Bible say? Ephesians 5. I would ask you to turn there, but don't. You know that scripture. Singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. When He said sing, He said sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Colossians 3 says singing with grace in your heart. Be happy. Sing. We have something really, let me say it better, we have someone to sing about. Amen. Jesus has put a song in my heart. How about you? So when you marry, sing. Well, the Bible says when there's hardness, pray. It says when there's gladness, sing. And then finally, and I won't go into this in great detail, this is some good scripture here about praying and calling for the elders and anointing. There's some great lessons that can be learned, and I just want to point out a few. The first one, when it says, "Is any afflicted?" speaks about being overwhelmed with hardness. The second one, "Is there any merry?" it speaks about not being overwhelmed, but overjoyed. But here, he said, "Is any among you sick?" It talks about being overcome with sickness, but not just any sickness. Now, I want to talk to you about sickness a little bit. You know, there's a lot of confusion about sickness. There's people that run around this country and around our world and they say, "Well, you know, we are faith healers." I have never found that in the book of James. The Bible says, if you'll notice it carefully now, look at it again. It says in verse number 15, the prayer of faith is what's going to save the sick, and the Lord is what's going to heal or raise him up. There is a faith healer. You understand that? Only Jesus heals. So, well, you know, in the apostolic day, I understand that. I know what day we're in, too. We're in the grace dispensation. We're not with sign gifts any longer. We're not counting on sign gifts. And so we don't ever want to get to a place where we're saying, well, I'm going to see a faith healer. I hope you're talking about Jesus, because he's the only one that can heal you. All right? That's the first thing. The second thing that I want you to notice here is that it says, if there's any among you sick, let him call for the elders. Well, if you're sick, you have a responsibility. And that responsibility is not to stay at home and see how many people's going to come see you. It's to call some people and get them there. I know our society has it backwards, but I'm telling you what the Bible says. Look at it again and read what the Scripture says. The Bible says, if you're sick, call somebody. Is that what it says? Yeah. You want some help? Call. Now, in our day, thank God, we have many methods of calling. In this day, they probably had to send messengers. But in our day, we have many methods of contacting people, saying, hey, come over, and I need you to pray with me. I'm sick. Now, what type of sickness would constitute this? All right? Sickness. Why do people get sick? I've read a lot about that over the years. It's amazing what people will tell you why people get sick. I'm going to give you a answer that is simple and only has three letters. S-I-N. That's why people get sick. Yeah. I'm not saying that's why you're sick. I'm saying that's why people get sick. Now listen to me. Sin brings death. Yeah. Yeah. And sin brings sickness. Original sin. There would be no sickness if there had never been any sin. You do understand that. This, yeah, come on. Listen to me now. Now, there is original sin that is the cause of all sickness, and then there is personal sin that could be the cause for my sickness or your sickness. Some people get sick because it's just the process of the way human nature is. But some people get sick because they have disobeyed God and broken His commandment. And as somebody said years ago, the soul of man is so close and lives so close to the body of man that sometimes the body just catches its diseases. And that's the truth. Did you know our soul can affect our body? Over and over again, the Bible teaches that. Here's a man in this scripture. In verse number 15, when he calls, there's some things that they should do. And we'll, this is for another time. Our time is about up. But I want to point out a couple of things here. In the verse number 15, it says, and if he hath committed sins. All right? Which means that this sickness could have been attached to his sin. All right? You do know that there are people who get sick because they have sinned. You do know that. And again, don't leave here and say, well, the preacher said the reason I'm sick is because I've sinned. I did not say that. I said there are people that get sick because of their sin. But not all sin or sickness is because of your personal sin. It's because of original sin. Sin brings sickness. But sometimes when people sin against God, God afflicts them with sickness. I want to give you some scripture. All right? So I want you to turn with me. Go, if you would, first of all, to John chapter number 9. Now, in John chapter number 9, there was this young man that Jesus healed. He was a man that was blind from his birth. And the disciples came to Jesus and they asked him, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Why is this man afflicted? Why is there sickness? Why is there disease in this man's life? Is it because of his sin or his parents' sin? And I'm glad Jesus answered that question. You in John chapter 9? What did Jesus say? Well, let's look at the question again. The Bible says in John 9, verse 1, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Did you know that sometimes God allows sickness so he can show himself strong in a person's life in healing sickness? Yes, he does. But then there's other times where there is absolutely no doubt that because of sickness. Turn to Mark chapter number 2, if you would. Chapter 2, verse 5, we find where there was a young man who was healed, but he had a sickness because of sin in his life. You know, when we partake of the Lord's table, I'm just going to say this. You really need to be cautious. Some people just take the church and they take their Christian life and their Christian experience and their personal walk and relationship and fellowship with God so lightly. But God takes it very seriously. Now, whether we take it seriously or not, that's on us. But I want to tell you, regardless of how we take it, God takes it all very serious. And God says, if you sin in a flippant, carefree way, and you come to my house or you come to my table in that manner, you're coming in an unworthy manner, and I am going to judge you for it. Now, God said that, brethren, and God means that. Just like the Word of God is always right when it's talking about being merry and having victory, it's always right when it's talking about God's judgment and chastisement, too. So it's right on both levels, all right? So here in Mark chapter number 2, look if you would in verse number 5. The Bible says in Mark chapter 2 in verse number 5, "When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." You say, "No, well, that could have just been an additional thing that Jesus was saying. Well, you know, you're healed physically, and now I want to heal or cleanse you spiritually." No, that's not the case. So now, if you have unconfessed sin in your life and you've sinned against God and you're living in such a manner, I want to tell you now, God's going to deal with that. And sometimes God chooses to deal with our sin in a physical way. Let me show you one other scripture and then we'll turn back to James and close. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 5. There's some passages in the scripture that when I read them, I think, you know, I would have liked to have been there. This is one of those passages. There was a man that had been laying by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. He had a sickness. And he kept waiting for the troubling of the waters. You know this account, right? Because there was this whatever, you can call it just this, you know, this fable, this fairy tale that the angel troubled the water and the first one in, you know, what was made whole. And here this man, and he lay there and he kept waiting and waiting, and he had no one that would help him during this time. That's what John chapter 5 is, all right? And so it comes down that Jesus goes to him, and you can read this. Let me share this with you. The Bible says in verse number 5, "A certain man was there," John chapter 5, verse 5, "which had an infirmity 38 years. Long times to be sick. And Jesus went to him, and he touched him, and he healed him, and he said, now you can go. And then in verse number 12, they ask him, "What man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?" You see that in verse number 12? "And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place." Now, oftentimes when this is read, this next verse is not brought out, but I want you to watch it very carefully, what Jesus said to this man. Verse number 14, "Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple." This is how important this is. He looked this man up, and he went to him, and here's his message to him. He said, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Sin can cause physical sickness and infirmity. Personal sin against God. Now, if you're here tonight and you're sick, I'm not saying that's why you're sick. I don't know. But I'm telling you, as we close back in James chapter 5, there's moods. All right? Number one, there's affliction. And if you're afflicted, and you're in hard places, you need to pray. And then there's merry. And you're happy and you're cheerful. You need to sing. But now if you're sick and you know that you're out of fellowship with God, you need to call. You need to get the elders of the church. That's what James chapter 5 says, isn't it? Let him call for the elders of the church. And you need to get some people praying. You need to do some confessing and getting some things right with God. I'm not talking about you come down with a cold last week. All right? I'm talking about sickness. James chapter 5 sickness. Sickness. Did you know the Bible says there is a sickness that isn't to death? When people just say, I'm not going to get right with God. I'm not trying to scare you, okay? I'm trying to tell you what God says. There's moods in life. There's moods in life. And while sometimes we have hardness, you take it to the Lord and pray. God cares about you and He wants to help you and He wants to help and see you through this hard time. If you're merry and you're cheerful, sing. Praise God. Amen. And if you're here tonight and you're just sickly and you're always sick and you're always down, you need to find out. You need to evaluate. Something is not right. Am I right with God? That'd be the first question I'd ask myself. Now, if you don't do this, that's fine. Okay, if you don't do this, that's fine. When I get sick, I do not run to a doctor. Now, if you do, fine. Don't get mad. Don't get angry at me. I have that right, okay? I mean, I just don't do that. I don't. I don't start, you know, getting a little sick, say, oh, got to make a doctor's appointment. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to do some things that I personally can do before I'll get a doctor involved. Okay, I just believe there's some things that we can do. You know, God gave us common sense, and He's given us some things, right? You know, and if you don't do that, that's fine. You say, well, you know what, I got my doctor on speed dial. Okay, all right, that's fine. That's fine. And I've even got him under Dr. A, so he'll be number one on speed dial. That's okay. Can I encourage you to do something as we stand to our feet and close this service tonight? If you're here tonight and you're afflicted, God asks you, are you afflicted? Pray. Pray. Don't ask me to pray for you until you pray. And after you begin to pray for a while, get some people praying with you. Now don't take that wrong. I'm your pastor. I love you. I want to pray with you. But God didn't say get someone to pray for you. You pray. You pray. God's drawing you to Him. He's allowed this affliction to get you to Him. So you pray. He wants to talk to you. Now I'll pray with you. But you pray for a while and then come to me and some of you brethren. Right? Amen. Number two, you marry? Sing. Sing. Sing for the Lord. And then number three, you sick? You sickly? Something just not right? Inspect. And then call. Get that matter right. Get that matter right. It's important. It really is. We all go through moods. If you're one of those, say, well, you know, I'm just going to keep going to the doctor. Here's what I was going to ask you earlier, and then we're going to pray. Can I ask you to do something? If you don't do it, it's not going to offend me. You know, it's just your choice. Just prayerfully consider that, you know, I want to give my Savior, I want to give my God an opportunity to do something in my life before I give a man an opportunity. That's all I'm asking. You know? God uses doctors. Sure He does. And I'm glad for